gentlemen, my name is Ian Pasquale and today we're presenting on our new project on affordable device for the translation of Braille auxiliary text. In the presentation today I'll be describing the purpose of the device, the Braille system which it works, how a user would operate the device, and then how the device actually works, which can be broken down into three main categories, being image capture, auditory and emotion detection, and optical Braille character recognition. I'll be then describing some possible future improvements. In Australia today, there are approximately 324,000 vision impaired persons. Now, while the majority, and 324,000 vision impaired persons, many of whom rely on Braille as their main means of reading communication. Now, while these persons can read and write in Braille, the majority of seeing persons in society cannot. And thus, there exists a written communications barrier between seeing and vision impaired persons. This problem is particularly apparent in the schooling system, where nowadays blind students are taught on the main screen. Now, these students perform oral assessment, writing, note writing, and tests using the manual Braille typewriter. And when the teacher comes to mark the work, the work must be first sent to a special unit for the Ministry for Education, where it is translated from Braille to text, then sent back to the teacher for marking. This is of considerable hassle for teachers, students, and government. Problems also exist in the workplace, where any written correspondence written by vision impaired persons must be translated by the person themselves before other seeing persons can interpret what they've written. So the device in the Vision Project is a portable device, handheld, that will allow seeing persons to read what blind people have written in Braille. Basically, the seeing person will scan along a Braille line with the device, and in real time, the equivalent of your text output is displayed on a little crystal display. The device also has application for persons suffering diabetic peripheral polyneuropathy. Diabetes is the major cause of blindness in Australia, and a side effect of diabetes is this condition. This condition causes persons to lose sensitivity in their extremities, which means they can no longer, these blind persons can no longer accurately read Braille, causing considerable distress. So the device could be used in this case so that the blind person with DPP can scan along the Braille line, and they can feel and scan, and then the output equivalent of the text will be sent to a text-to-speech converter, and they can hear it. While there has been previous research into this field, no commercial product exists for Braille text translation, and none of them are portable, and the applications which they were researching to differ quite amount from those considered here, and all the specifications and requirements are taken from the West Australian Association for the Blind. To give an understanding of how the device works, I'll give you a rundown of the Braille system. Braille is a tactile medium. It uses a special paper with punch dots which blind persons can feel and interpret characters. Now, there are normally six dots. Now, six dots can only give you 64 possible combinations of a Braille cell. And considering there are 26 lowercase letters, 26 uppercase letters, 10 numerals, and all the other special characters such as question mark, apostrophe, etc., Braille cannot possibly accommodate all possible characters. It also suffers from a data density problem. Braille can only hold 1,000 characters per page, as opposed to about 3,500 for literary text. An example of this is the Braille New Testament Bible, which is a set of volumes about 1.5 meters wide. So to get around these two problems, Braille uses a contraction form, where the meaning of a Braille cell depends on its context. As we can see here, this set of cells in a Braille cell could equal people, and this one here could equal WH or which or colon, depending on the context. I've given the grade 2 English alphabet for reference here. The device in this project basically works by image capture. It has a camera system which takes pictures of the Braille page as the scanner moves along. It sends these to a digital signal processor which performs optical Braille character recognition to determine the Braille cell. And then once it's determined the Braille cell, it performs Braille to text translation. It then sends this to a host receiver display. The host receiver is used in this case just for prototyping. In the developed device, you'd have a liquid crystal display for the case when a seeing person wants to read what a blind person has written, or a text-to-speech converter in a diabetic peripheral polyneuropathy case. We have a codal assembly here, which provides a digital signal processor with distance and direction information on the scanner's movement as it rolls along the brown line, and there's a timing board here to control the operation of the camera. Here's the actual implementation of the device. We have the scanner, which rolls on the brow page, the timing board, and a digital signal processor which performs the optical brow recognition, and then outputs its literary text to the host receiver display. In the developed device, this is already located on the handheld unit. I know show the device in operation. Basically, the user just scans along the brow line with the scanner, and in real time the equivalent little text output is displayed on the host PC. And we can see here, this is the grade 2 English alphabet, AWXYZ. I'll now describe the major components of this system, starting with the image capture. The camera system basically consists of an LED illumination source, which when in operation shines at right angles to the brow page. Now considering we have raised brow dots, this orthogonal illumination will cause shadows behind those dots. A self-focal lens, which is a one-dimensional lens, then focuses these images onto a one-dimensional linear CCD, which is just basically a line of photodiodes. Now the output of each of the pixels of this CCD is proportional to the amount of light incident on them, and obviously the pixels which are in the focused image of brow dot shadows will have much less voltage than those that aren't. We have and here's a Kirtle assembly as described before. Here we have the actual output of the CCD. When it's over 3 brow dot shadows, you can quite clearly see from the output of the camera the existence of brow dots. It's 128 pixel, and it has 100 Hz frame rate to allow adequate scanning speed, and it's pixels are clocked out at 50 kHz to be in concert with the analog digital converter of the digital signal processor. I'll now show you the camera's output in real time. If you look closely, you can see the brow dot shadows as the LED moves at right angles to the brow page. And here is the scanner's output in real time. You can see the shadows it produces. Now, the digital processor basically needs some way of telling where the scanner is on the brow page and how fast it's moving and how fast it moves in the direction of movement, so that it can correlate the incoming camera frames with an actual physical brow page. So it uses quadrilateral motion detection. What it does is it has a Kirtle assembly with a tracking which rolls on the brow page, and it provides the digital signal processor with exactly 92 frames per inch. So that it can, the digital signal processor can know only which camera frames it requires. We use the quadrilateral motion detection part for direction information, which allows the for correction to hand jitter. Considering using 92 frames per inch, even a slight amount of hand jitter can send the camera frames out 20 or so frames, which can considerably decrease the accuracy of the optical brow recognition algorithm. It also allows for backscanning when they have to physically lift off the page, so a user can just rescan the line they consider a reading. With the use of quadrilateral motion detection, the digital signal processor can construct a two-dimensional map of the brow page from a one-dimensional camera system. Here is its actual implementation. Basically, it consists of the tracking wheel, which rolls on the brow page as the scanner moves. This is connected through a gear system to this code wheel. A code wheel is just a slot, it's just a disc with slots made in it, so that an LED light can be shined through in it. On the other side of the LED is a photodiode, and there are two of these positioned on the code wheel, just so that while one is shining through the disc, the other one isn't going in transition shape, state from going shining through to not shining through, or not shining to shining through. And by using, we can use this to determine the scanner's direction of movement. As we can see here, when the scanner is moving forward, when A is in a transition period from high to low, B is low, but when we're going backwards, when A is in a transition from high to low, B is high. The digital signal processor can just perform simple logic to determine the scanner's direction of movement. The digital signal processor used in this device was a Texas Instruments TMS-542 DSP. it is, has 100 megahertz frequency, which is a high, which is required for the high computation requirements of real-time image processing, and it has quite low power usage, which is an important consideration for a portable device using batteries. It conveniently comes with this feature of real-time DSP output and debugging support, which is used in this case to display the equivalent little text output of the Braille page in real time. I'm now describing how the digital signal processor performs optical Braille recognition. Basically, what it does, the digital signal processor waits for a codal interrupt to indicate the scanner's movement. It then performs a quadrillion motion detection to determine if it was moving forward or backwards, and if it was moving forward, it would capture the next incoming camera frame by sampling it. Here you can see some samples of our incoming camera frame when it's over three Braille shadows, and pulled into the MATLAB, you can see the sampled camera frame accurately portrays the Braille shadows, as you can see. Now, while the user is operating the device, they want to concentrate on the meaning of the text they are reading, not on the actual scanning process itself. So the device must be easy to use. So what we use here is fuzzy logic principles. This allows the user to roughly read the line without having to hold the scanner exactly at the same position over the dots every single time, so that we have some variability in the system so we can accommodate that feature. So using these discrete fuzzy logic variables, the position of the Braille dots within the camera's field of view can vary quite an amount. Here is a standard output of a digital signal processor sent to the host PC. Ones represent the presence of dots, zero represents the absence of dots, and here we're scanning a line of one-on-one Braille cells. You can see here the one-on-one of a Braille cell on the next Braille cell, one-on-one, and so on. Conveniently, we use a reference voltage in this algorithm, which allows the device to use many different types of paper and aged paper. It does not depend on the this device can operate on many types of paper. It's not limited to only one colour paper. Now, considering we're using a one-dimensional camera system, it is mathematically impossible that the device will be angled exactly with the Braille line as it's moving along the line. It's always going to be a slight angle. So what this means is that the Braille dots will be present in different camera frames. I'll give an example of this. As you can see, you see three Braille dot shadows come up soon. They come in different shadows, so three come at different times. And this can impact on the DSP's optical Braille character emission. So to overcome this, we use a simple technique where we all successive camera frames. As we can see here, I'm scanning a line of 1-on-1, 0-on-1 Braille cells, and clearly so you can just pick up the first dot first before the others, but over time the algorithm compensates for the angular misalignment. Now that we've found the Braille dots, we need to create the actual Braille cell. We use a slicer rule to represent the left hand side of the cell and the right hand side of the cell, and then we combine this to create the complete Braille cell. Now, in Braille, there's a problem. When it comes to single-celled Braille cell, there's no way a blind user can physically tell whether dots from a single-celled Braille cell exist for the left-hand side of the cell or for the right-hand side of the cell, and they have totally different meaning. As you can see here, the dots 6 and 4, which equals K, feels exactly the same as the dots 3 and 1, which equals decimal point. However, the Braille codes are made such that single-celled Braille cells, which can be confused with each other, have totally different meaning. So the Braille user just think, apply simple rules to determine the Braille cell's correct meaning. Obviously, if it was the letter K, it would be not be in between two numbers, but if it was, it would be in between the decimal points. And then digital signal processor in this project uses the same simple rules to overcome this ambiguity. Now, to make this device truly universal so that it can operate on all the different types of Braille, such as English, math, Arabic, music, and so on, we have to create a base system which represents the physical Braille cell, not the actual meaning of the Braille cell, because it's dependent on the context. So So what we do, we make a binary braille code which represents the physical existence of dots. Basically, 0 represents the presence of no dots, and 63 represents the presence of all dots. As we can see, the abelian here, we scan the line of 1 on 1, 0 on 1 braille cells, and you can see the 0 on 1, 1 on 1, and then creating the slice variables as described before, and the complete braille cell makes the binary braille code 59. We can then apply the various braille type rules to do the braille to text translation. Now, these decompression algorithms are really valuable. One was developed by Paul Blanton and Ian Murray. Basically, it's just a state machine with switch with lookup tables, which is convenient because basically the device just uses the state machine, and for the different types of braille such as Arabic and Arithmetic, it just loads in a different lookup table. For testing purposes, I developed the English Grade 2 alphabet, English Grade 2 braille system. And here we can see this scan of Apple when it scanned a line of alphabet. It's quite accurate, about 80%, but this was totally dependent on the user's ability to hold the camera over the braille line and in its field of view, and roughly straight. Obviously, if it's at too great angle, the DSP cannot compensate. In the developed device, this is because in the prototype device, it rests on a one-wheel tracking system, which allows it to be easy to twist and turn and borrow the braille line. In the developed device, we'd hope to give it a forward tracking system, which would keep it straight and straight along the braille line. In fact, when we were testing the device, if we held the device perfectly straight over the braille line and scan, we gave 100% accuracy. To complete the device, we need to give it the liquid crystal display for the case when a seeing person wants to read with a blind person arisen, or a text-to-speech converter for the diabetic peripheral volume of the case. We have to give it a forward tracking system to prove its accuracy and ease of use. And possibly we can give it an area CCD array, and then using the same principles as the optical mouse, we can get rid of the codable assembly, and the user won't have to physically roll the device on the braille page, they can just scan above the line. The device could also double as a text reader. Here I've scanned the word V with the device, and you can quite clearly see the word V. These devices really exist, text readers. They're very limited in their functionality, but they are useful for business situations such when a blind person wants to read the amount of money in the text. And just using the same principles as commercial devices, this could double the device's uses. The most notable I'm finished now. The most notable achievements of the device were the implementation and utilization of the quantum immersion detection, the image capture of physical braille meters, and the ability of the DSP digital signal processor to perform optical braille character recognition on a dynamic medium. And thus we have a proven basis for a portable full-time braille delivery text translation device. And hopefully once developed, it could act as a communications gateway between seen and visually impaired persons. I'd like to thank my supervisor, Ian Murray, for the values initiative, this project would not exist, and the tech support at Kew University. Any questions, please?